Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings during the second week of Lent, and they remind us that you are with us and will give us what we need to continue successfully our journey of faith. May your word enter our hearts and not return to you void, but accomplish all it's been sent to do. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. So I'm always looking for practical things to help us in our spiritual life. I'm not an intellectual. That's probably why they sent me to the seminary in Southern California, sunshine, surfing, you know, and all the smart people went to Rome or something like that. But I got a good education, and, you know, they try to fit you where you're going to bloom and plant and be bloomed, you know. And one of my favorite saints is St. Francis de Sales. You've heard me talk about him a lot over the last 6.5 years here at St. Thomas, because he was very practical and wrote numerous letters and books to help people draw closer to the Lord and to encourage them when they were being discouraged in their spiritual life. And he always used analogies that people could relate to, everyday examples from our daily living that could be used to help us draw closer to the Lord and try to understand his will for our lives. But each one of us goes through periods of desolation and consolation. And I was remembering a wonderful teaching a priest shared with me in my second year in college, when after I had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, everything just kind of dried up all of a sudden. I wasn't getting consolations. Getting up in the morning to pray was no longer an exciting experience. And it's just, what's wrong with me? So I went into confession kind of in a panic and said, something's terribly wrong. I'm not hearing from the Lord, or it's not exciting to go pray anymore. And he just laughed and said, you know, that's normal. You know, don't hit the panic button. The desolation is part of our spiritual journey. We all go through valleys and darkness and different things in our lives and experiences. And so the first thing you have to do is just step back and say, okay, why is this happening? So he shared with me a brief teaching from St. John on the Cross that I've never forgotten to this day. And that was like 31 years ago when I went to that confession. And he said, you know, whenever you feel desolation, when prayer and spiritual things don't excite you anymore, you need to examine three areas of your life. First, and this seems the most obvious, am I actively sinning? Am I making choices every day in my life that are not part of God's plan for me? If I do that, then how can I expect to feel close to the Lord? That ruptures our relationship with him, with me, with one another. So, you know, am I actively sinning? So you have to, that's the first thing that you examine in yourself. But then he said, the Lord is testing you. And that kind of irritated me. He's testing me. Why would he test me? Right? Well, look at the first reading with Abraham and Isaac. You take your only beloved son, Isaac, and offer him. The Lord was trying to reveal the intentions of his heart. So the Lord allows to be tested to purify the intentions of our heart. Is God really in first place? Or am I chasing after idols and other things in my life that are never going to bring me happiness, and I'm compromising my faith? So he will allow us to be tested. The catechism says this in regards to the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Now, in the English language, it's very problematic. And Pope Benedict and Pope Francis have said maybe we need to change the translation, because God would not deliberately lead us into temptation. He allows us to experience it because he wants to purify our hearts. So even in Spanish, it's no dejes caer en tentación. Do not permit us to fall into temptation. It's different than saying lead us not into temptation. It's if God wants to lead us into temptation. But I'll let the theologians work that out. So, lead us not into temptation implies a decision of the heart. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No one can serve two masters. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. In this ascent to the Holy Spirit, the Father gives us strength. And this is from 1 Corinthians. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your strength, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. So God allows us to be tested so we can probe our hearts and say, you know, is God really the intention of my heart, the object and the affection of my heart? And sometimes we get lost and we put other things in place of that. It's just the truth of our sinful, fallible nature as human beings. So God will test us. So it's an area of sin in my life. He's testing me. And then the last thing was he's teaching me. So oftentimes God will withdraw his presence to get our attention. Like, hey, why is this happening? How come it's no longer exciting to go and pray or go to an adoration or read God's word, that he's trying to get our attention to teach us something. And I think this is the last part of the transfiguration. You know, they didn't understand fully what was happening, and that's why he said, don't share this with anyone. I want you to ponder this in your heart and let this experience come to fruition. And so when Peter later on wrote in his epistle, he says that, you know, we experienced the transfiguration, but we didn't tell anyone about it until Jesus had risen from the dead, and now we understand why he did that for us. He did that to help them because, you know, they're about to endure the scandal of the cross. Scripture scholars say that it was like 6 days before the crucifixion that this event happened. And so Jesus was giving them a prelude of, you know, in the end, it's all going to work out. But for now, you're not going to get this, and you're going to have to go through a really, really difficult thing. You know, the trial, the crucifixion, the scourging, all that. But in the end, it's all going to work out. So he gave them that as a foretaste or a prelude of what was going to be the truth of what they were looking forward to. And he gives us the Eucharist every Sunday as a sign of his love and affection for us. And how often we can come and not prepare ourselves. Oh yeah, body of Christ, amen, whatever. Instead of only say the word and my soul shall be healed, right? So we need to always be constantly aware of that the Lord is trying to draw us into a deeper experience of worship and encountering him in word and sacrament each and every time we celebrate the Holy Mass. And this is the year of Eucharistic renovation. The U.S. bishops have had a special year, and that's why we gave you that book at Christmas. Find it, dust it off, and read it. It's one of the best books I've ever read. I wish that guy was a seminary professor when I was in the seminary, Brant Petrie. Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist. Do you remember we gave that to you right before Christmas as a gift from our parish? It's an excellent book, and I guarantee if you read that with an expectant faith, you're going to leave more and more excited about what we do every Sunday here as a community of faith. Amen? So the Eucharist is given to us to help us and encourage us. But we live with that tension in our hearts. This is what we're called to. This is where I'm at. I'm not done yet. And Proverbs 13 says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. But with the Holy Spirit, with the Eucharist and the sacraments and all the graces God has given us, we know that neither death nor life nor anything on this earth above or below can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so he gives us everything we need, but we have to unpack things. So when we have spiritual experiences, you know, we have the initial experience, and then we need to pray and review and go over again. Lord, is there something else you're trying to teach me? I've been going over my workbook from the retreat in January, and I'm just unpacking all kinds of amazing things that I couldn't possibly take in while I was there in Florida doing the retreat, because there was just so much. So you go back and revisit your experiences, and God will unpack and teach you through those experiences about his love and his faithfulness for you when you're going through a difficult period in your life. And that's why it's so important during this Lent that we pull back and pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and say, hey, when this thing happened to you, whether it was a quote-unquote good experience or a traumatic experience, the Lord was with you. And he's going to show you how his faithfulness will guide you through everything that's coming in the future. He's been faithful in the past. He's faithful in the present. He's faithful in the future. So he wants to teach us, but we have to humble ourselves to have a pliable heart, a heart that seeks wisdom and knowledge and not, oh, we already did that. I already got everything I need out of that. Really? Go back and pray in the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful little surprises for all of us, and especially in the most traumatic experiences of our life. That's the hardest for us to believe, is when bad things happen, people suffer and die. God's not in this. Oh, yes, he is. Go back and pray and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and show you that God is especially with us in our sufferings. Look at a crucifix. That's why Catholics are particularly fond of crucifixes. Something that objectively just looks horrible and awful. That's how he redeemed us. So he's not void and when we have difficult experiences in our life and we're suffering. He's most especially present to us. C.S. Lewis used to say, pain is a megaphone to humanity. Pain is a megaphone to humanity. And sometimes when we have tragedies like 9/11, all of a sudden in New York City, everybody was praying to God and going to church again. It lasted for like a month, and then everyone went back to normal after that. But that tragedy really caused us to come together and say, what happened? Why did this happen? And how is God present in the midst of this? So oftentimes when we have difficult experiences, God is trying to get our attention. One last story. Mandisa is a gospel recording artist. I love her music. But she went through a horrible experience, like a dark night of the soul. She thought her friend Keisha was going to be healed from breast cancer. She prayed one morning and she thought she heard the Lord say, she's going to be healed. Well, she wasn't. She died. And that was devastating to her. And she just kind of withdrew from all of her friends, her family, and just went into a pit of depression. And actually was suicidal. She talks about this in an interview. So she had some wonderful friends in her life who weren't the superficial friends that just want to be with you when things are going well, but they stick with you through thick and thin. Do you have any friends like that in your life? Maybe. I hope you do. If you don't, I hope you find them. But they pursued her, and so they, and actually one of them kind of stalked her. And so she went to a movie one night, and they saw her car leave and go to the movie theater in the parking lot or the parking garage. And they all, friends, had these stick-it notes with scripture passages and prayers and saying, please come back to us. We know you're struggling, but don't shut us out of your life. We want to help you. We want to walk with you through this difficult experience. And they just pasted them all over her car. And then when she came off of the movie, they were just there and they sprung upon her. And that began her quote-unquote resurrection from this pit of depression she was experiencing. And she talks about it openly, and she has a new album called Out of the Darkness, you know, that out of that experience, God just showed his faithfulness. But we all go through periods like that, so we want to know that Jesus is that kind of friend in our lives that will not abandon us when we're at our worst and when things are going wrong. But we need to seek him with all our heart during those periods of time. So God allows these experiences to happen because is there an area of sin in my life? I need to get rid of that. Is he testing me? St. Teresa of Avila said, do not seek the consolation of God, but seek the God of consolation. Do I love God for what he gives me or for who he is? And that's where he deepens our relationship with him. And then is he trying to teach me something? Okay, you've withdrawn your presence. Maybe you're trying to teach me something. So share that with people around you who are having a hard time right now in their spiritual life. I don't invent these things. I just pass a lot of things on that I've been given over the last 26 years as a priest. I can't take credit for it. But when people share things like that and it gets me, I'll share it with you. And you share it with someone else. Amen? Amen. Be bold. Don't be wimpy. Amen.